Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Lamed. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the end of our previous shiur, at the bottom of Daf Chof Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara introduced two halachas that Rav would say concerning a Sefer Torah, and we find Tanaic sources that disprove what Rav says. We pointed out that, based on the Tosfos, that really the first of the two halachas is absolutely disproved. The second of Rav's halachas, which will be featured here at the top of Daf Lamed, encounters difficulty, but it survives, as Tosfos said, bedochak, without ease. It survives the questioning. So we now turn to the top line of Daf Lamed. We have another house marking and an indication that this is the second halacha. You see a little number 2 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. The Gemara says, Idoch, the second halacha of Rav in the realm of Sefer Torah, D'omar Rav, HaKos of Sefer Torah, Ubo Ligmor. Someone is writing a Sefer Torah and is approaching the end. Gomer V'afilu Be'emtza Hadaf. He is able to finish, even if the conclusion of his writing turns out to be in the middle of the final column. The expression daf, in the context of writing a Sefer Torah, is a reference to the columns. If one is familiar with the Sefer Torah, one will notice that there are pieces of parchment that are sewn together, and on each piece of parchment that's sewn together, there are several columns. The details of size and length of parchments and numbers of columns will be the subject of the Gemara later on. For the time being, though, we're approaching the end of a Sefer Torah, and Rav says you can finish the writing of the Sefer Torah even if it comes out that you do not write a complete column, complete in terms of length, till the bottom of what a standard column would be. The Gemara asks, Meisvei, we have a Tanaic source. Notice how the house marking flipped over. This indicates a question on what Rav taught. The style of this Gemara will be, as we pointed out at the end of our previous shiur, there will be a ma'akav here, an attempt to keep track using this house marking flipping back and forth to keep track of the discussion. So here the Gemara challenges Rav's teaching with the following Tanaic source. HaKosev Sefer Torah Bolo ligmor, lo yigmor, be'emtza hadaf. Notice we've dot underlined the expression lo yigmor. This is to contrast with what Rav said, where there is also a dotted underline under the word gomer, the line just above. This source says lo yigmor, be'emtza hadaf, kederech shigomer b'chumashim. He should not finish the writing of the Sefer Torah in the middle of a column. In other words, it would be a shortened column where the Sefer Torah would conclude. Don't do that, as one is allowed to do when he's writing Chumashim. Chumashim are individual books of the five books of the Torah. Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, etc. In the case of Chumashim, one is able to finish an individual Sefer in the middle of a column. In other words, without writing till the very bottom of a column. So what does one do if, in fact, he is about to come to the end of a Sefer Torah and he does not have enough writing to complete, to take up all of the balance of the column till the bottom? So the source says, Elo mekatzir v'holech ad sof hadaf. There is an illustration in the Rashi of what's intended. Mekatzer means that you are able to write subsequent lines, each line shorter than the previous line, and that way you won't have full-length lines, thereby taking up more vertical space, so to speak, and you would end up finishing at the bottom. It may very well be that the bottom line has one word on it, but that would be in fulfillment of this idea of finishing till the bottom. So we see a kasha from here on Rav's teaching. Rav said that in writing the Sefer Torah and approaching the conclusion, one may conclude in the middle, one may conclude with a shortened final column. The Gemara answers, Ki koma Rav b'chumashim. Rav's teaching, notice we have a little arrow here, which we will use in a moment, but in the meantime, Rav's teaching is with regard to chumashim. With regard to chumashim, one can finish with a short column. In other words, finish in the middle of a column. The Gemara asks, V'ha Sefer Torah ko'omar. We've dashed, underlined the word Sefer Torah, and we now turn to the arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Skim up a few lines. You'll see a corresponding arrow, also a dashed, underlined Sefer Torah. Rav's original halacha was not with regard to chumashim, individual books of the five books of the Torah, but rather with regard to a complete Sefer Torah. So how can you tell me that Rav's halacha, emtzadaf, doesn't deal with a Sefer Torah? The Gemara answers, B'chumashim shel Sefer Torah. When Rav said originally one who's writing a Sefer Torah, he really meant to say when one is writing the individual books of the Sefer Torah, the individual Sforim of a Sefer Torah, he may finish a Sefer in the middle of a column. The Gemara asks, Amy, can you really say that pshat? V'ho'omar Rabbi Yeshua bar Abba, Omar Rav, Gidl Omar Rav, and we've underlined Rav's name because we're focusing on Shitas Rav. These words are the last three words of a Sefer Torah. Li'enei Kol Yisrael, Be'emtza Hadaf, which indicates that that Rav's teaching does concern a complete Sefer Torah. And he is saying in the middle of a column. In other words, one does not have to finish the writing off to the bottom. And that teaching, once again, is against the Tanaic source that was introduced before. The Gemara answers, Hahi, this teaching of Rav that said, Le'enei Kol Yisrael, is not to be understood as in the middle of the in the middle of a column, meaning a shortened column. Rather, Be'emtza Shita Itmar. Shita is a line. In other words, one must finish till the bottom of the column. That final, the conclusion of the Sefer Torah must be a complete column reaching the bottom. And the idea of emsa that Rav spoke about before, emsa meaning middle, it meant in the middle of the line. In other words, the final line of a Sefer Torah does not have to be written till the very end of the line. Here we now have two versions of this statement. Rabbonon Amri Af Be'emtza Shita, that this idea of middle of the line is an option, even in the middle of the line. And from this, it would sound like the best way would be at to the end of the line, but if the last line ends in the middle, that's okay. Rav Ashi Omar Be'emtza Shita Dafka. Rav Ashi feels that the best way is to but it must be in the middle of the line. And according to Rav Ashi, there is no option of writing till the end of that final line. V'chasa, and the Gemara itself rules, Be'emtza Shita Davka, that we want the Sefer Torah to end specifically in the middle of a line and not to have the writing continue till the end of the line. We may point out that there is a little bit of a problem, so to speak, with as far as Gersos are concerned, or how to understand the Rashi. There's a Rashi that says, Af Be'emtza Shita. Our explanation is based on the Shita Mekubetzes, Ois Tes, that presents an alternative or a different pshat than what Rashi says. Notice we have a slash mark in our Gemara that indicates that which follows is a new idea. And the outside margin, we have a mivne. It's a structural note. We notice the triangle featured. In our Gemara itself, in the Gemara text, you'll notice a couple of triangles. They are Memros Shel, this is what we've written on the outside column, Memros Shel Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abo, Be'inyan Sefer Torah, comments of Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abo within the context of a Sefer Torah. The Nose, the topic, the immediate topic that we have under our topic heading in the Shas Ozer marked Gemara edition that you are viewing on your screen, you have we provide topic headings as well as structural notes as each new sugya appears or as each new marking appears. We attempt to explain what their role is in that given sugya. So here our topic heading is Shmoyne Psukim Achronim Shel Torah, the last eight psukim of the Torah. One point is Yochid Korei Osan, that they are not to be broken up in two aliyas. The last eight psukim are to be read or let's say, given to one aliyah. The person in the Gemara's time, the person who received the aliyah, he was the one that would actually read the psukim as well. So the last eight psukim, we don't want to have broken up into two aliyahs. And another point that will be dealt with is Mi Kosvan, who authored, who wrote the last eight psukim of the original Sefer Torah. It's understood that the original Sefer Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The question is concerning those last eight psukim. So now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba Omar Rav Gidl Omar Rav Shmoina Psukim Shibatura, namely the last eight psukim of the Torah, Yochid Korei Osan Beveis HaKnesses. An individual, one person reads the last eight psukim, and that idea of one reads, it means it's not, those last eight psukim should not be divided amongst two aliyahs. The Gemara asks a question. The structure here is noted by a long question mark, and you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text a shin that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. All of these lines constitute the question. The end of the question, if you skim down, you'll notice in the middle of the line at the end of the long question mark, it says, Lemo Doloka Rebbe Shimon, should we say that all of the aforementioned, or should we say that Rav's teaching based on the aforementioned is not like Rebbe Shimon? So now we turn to the Gemara. Keman, the Gemara is asking concerning the teaching of Rav that the last eight psukim are not to be divided amongst two aliyahs. Based on whom is that teaching? So should we say Dolo Kerebi Shimon? Should we say that it's not like Rebbe Shimon? Well, let's see, where is Rebbe Shimon? So we have a Tanaic source, Desanya. The Tanaic source is enclosed in a frame as we mark all of our Tanaic sources in the Gemara marking system. In this source, you will have Shitas Rebbe Huda, who's the first of the two names that appear in the source. You'll notice their names are underlined. And Rebbe Shimon will appear after that. So the source begins, Desanya, Vayomos Shom Moshe Ever Hashem. That's a posuk that you find at the end of the Torah. And it's, as we say, it's a posuk written in the Sefer Torah. Efsher Moshe Chai because of Vayomos Shom Moshe. Could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu would write that? How could it be that a person who is alive is writing that he died? Elo Ad Kan Kosav Moshe. Up till that posuk, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. However, at the point that you read Vayomos Shom Moshe, you have to realize Mikan Veilech, from that point on till the end of the Sefer Torah, Kosav Yoshua Ben Nun. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda V'Yamri Lo Rabbi Nechemya. Another version of who said this is Rabbi Nechemya. So the last eight psukim were not written by Moshe Rabbeinu, according to Rabbi Yehuda. If that be the case, so then the last eight psukim are a different unit in your mind's eye, so to speak, and as such, they should be treated separately. And that could be the explanation for Rav's din of Yochid Kariosan, treat them separately, don't break them up into separate aliyahs, treat it as a single, separate unit. Now, Omar Lo Rabbi Shimon, Efshir Sefer Torah Choser Oisachas, could it be that a Sefer Torah would be missing even one letter, Uksiv Mokoyach Es Sefer Torah Zeh, Besamtem Oisoy V'chulei? Now, this pasuk of, you shall take this Sefer Torah, that is a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu definitely wrote. And he's saying, this pasuk is saying, and you shall take this Sefer Torah. So it's obviously, according to Reb Shimon, it's obviously a complete Sefer Torah. Otherwise, you wouldn't say this Sefer Torah if it's incomplete. So, being that that's the case, the last psukim, including where it says Vayomel Shel Moshe till the end, those last eight psukim must have been written by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Elo ad kan Hakadosh Baruch Hu Oimer uMoshe Oimer veKoisev. Up till the pasuk of Vayomos Shel Moshe, the method of Torah writing was as follows. The Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, would communicate to Moshe Rabbeinu what he should write. Moshe Rabbeinu would repeat orally what the Kodesh Baruch Hu just told him, and then write. So you would have Kodesh Baruch Hu speaking, Moshe Rabbeinu saying it over, and then writing it. Mikan v'eilech HaKodesh Baruch Hu Oimer. From Vayomos Shel Moshe onwards, the Kodesh Baruch Hu communicated what should be written. He dictated what should be written. UMoshe Koisev Bedema. And Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, Bedema, some translate that as with tears, so to speak. But there are other explanations, there are other actually deep explanations as to what that word means. But it doesn't mean that he necessarily wrote it with teardrops, but he wrote it while crying, we'll say. And he was a bitzar. Actually, he's recording his own death. So he wrote it. But the main point for our Gemara right now is he wrote it without vocalizing, without saying over what he was just dictated. Kemo shenemar, and there's a pasuk that indicates a similar phenomenon where information that was dictated was of a sorrowful nature, and the scribe did not vocalize it prior to his writing. Kemo shenemar lahalon, as it says later on in time, possibly in the case of Yirmiyo, who was the author of the Megillas Eicha, which is referred to by Rishonim as Kinos. It says, regarding the incident of the writing of the book of Eicha, it says, Vayomer Lahem Baruch. Baruch, he was the Talmud and also the scribe of Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Baruch told them, when he was asked who's responsible for this particular book called the Megillas Eicha, so he said, Mipiv Yikro Elias Kol Advorim Ho'eleh. He, the Yirmiyahu, recited to me all of these things. V'ani koisev al ha-sefer b'dyo. And I wrote it. You can see that he simply wrote it. He did not say over what was dictated to him prior to that. And Rashi points out that's because of the sorrowful nature, the woeful nature of the contents of that particular sefer, or Megillas Eicha, which describes the period of time after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So we see that when it comes to sorrowful matters, the scribe would not actually vocalize what he is writing. Anyway, after all is said and done, the Gemara repeats the opening question, Lema Delok Rabbi Shimon. Lema is a reference to Rav's teaching. Rav's teaching sounds like it would not conform to Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Sefer Torah, and he wrote the end as well. Being that he wrote the entire Sefer Torah, why not break, just like you break up any other section of the Sefer Torah amongst several Oilim, several Aliyahs, so you can break up the last eight Psukim as well. It's the same author, the same writer, the same scribe is responsible for the last eight as the rest of the Torah. The Gemara answers, in fact, Rav's teaching could conform to Rebbe Shimon. You'll ask, but the last eight psukim are the same as the rest of the Torah? The answer is, they're not exactly the same in so far as the fact that they were written with a slight difference in so far as we saw that he wrote it while crying without repeating the dictation prior to his writing. So afilu temo Rabbi Shimon, you can say that even that Rav's teaching conforms even to Rabbi Shimon, and why the last eight psukim are treated as a separate unit and not to be broken up amongst several aliyahs, hoyil v'ishtani ishtani, since there is a difference, so that difference is that which establishes this, we'll call, different way of treating the last eight psukim. The Omar Rabbi Yeshua Bar Abba Omar Rav Gidol Omar Rav. Once again, you see the triangle. This is another Memra of Rabbi Yeshua, and the same other names that follow as well. regarding a Sefer Torah. Halokeach Sefer Torah min hashuk, kechoytef mitzvah min hashuk. He mentions 2 points. You'll notice we have them listed as Aleph and Beis. His first teaching is that one who purchases a ready-made Sefer Torah, an already written Sefer Torah from the vendors, kechoytef mitzvah min hashuk, it's as if he's grabbing a mitzvah. But Rashi points out that the expression chotef, grabbing a mitzvah, indicates something of a lesser nature. That namely, it would have had he himself written the Sefer Torah, as opposed to buying a ready-made Sefer Torah, that would have been even greater. And that's the second point that he says. Now, Beis, notice we have a little Beis here. It says Kosvo. If the person wrote the Sefer Torah as opposed to purchasing a ready-made Sefer Torah, Kosvoi, Ma'al of a Kosov, the Torah considers him Ki'ilu Kibloi Mehar Sinai. It's as if he personally received the Torah from Mount Sinai. That, of course, is a greater accolade. Omar Rav Sheshes, Im higia boy afilu ois achas, if a person corrected filled in a missing letter or made a correction, even if the correction involved one letter, malav akosuf kiilu kosvo, he is considered as if he wrote the Sefer Torah. We now have a Tanaic source that's of a rather lengthy nature. The source, as is indicated from on the side of the Gemara, is taken from Maseches Sofrim. If one scans ahead, one will find that it's actually a collection of quotes from Maseches Sofrim. Maseches Sofrim, we are assuming, is a collection of Tanaic literature, of brises, concerning halachas that regard Sifrei Torah and the writing thereof. On the source itself is rather lengthy. You'll see, because of the frame that we have around it, you can see that it continues till the upper quarter of Omid Beis. On the outside margin, we wrote as our nosei the topic heading, Shiurim Shonim. Shiurim has to do with amounts. Shiurim Shonim B'Sefer Torah. Amounts, sizes, dimensions that regard a Sefer Torah. And amongst the different points that will be discussed here include yirios. Yirios are the sheets of parchment on which columns and columns of writing are to be done. So the yirios represents the sheets on any given yiria. There will be multiple columns of Torah writing. The dapim, we saw the word daf mentioned before. Dapim is a word referring to the column, to an individual column of writing in the Torah. So there are halachas concerning the dimensions regarding those columns. There is another issue of revach baksav, spaces between different aspects of the writing, spaces concerning the margins at the top and bottom, spaces between each individual column of writing, spaces between lines, spaces between words, and finally spaces between individual letters. So refer to this by an umbrella term, revach, spacing, biksav, regarding the writing, the oid, and other points. Other points will include things like if one is approaching the end of a line and he has a word that would extend beyond the line, what does one do? And the other one was right here, the oid, that also concerns the idea of a mistake. What happens when one, let us say, is supposed to write the Shem Hashem and wrote something else instead? What do you do? Where do you write the Shem Hashem? So those other halachas are not exactly, we'll call them, not exactly dimension or size related, but they are in this source as well. So now turning to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Oisa Odom Yiriya Mi Bas Sholosh Dapim V'ad Bas Shmoyne Dapim. A sheet of parchment shall be no shorter, no less than a sheet that one that would contain 3 columns of writing, but not longer than than that which would contain eight columns of writing. Of course, the width of each column will be mentioned later, but we're right now assuming that that's a given. There's a given that there's a standard size with regard to a column, so the sheet of parchment, and as we mentioned, the Sefer Torah is made up of many sheets that are sewn together, sheets of parchment sewn together. Right now we're dealing with the number of columns per sheet of parchment. Pochos mikan v'yeser alkein lo yase, less than three, more than eight, one should not do. Velo yarbe bedapim mipnei shenira ki igeres. Taking a look at Rashi, velo yarbe bedapim. Rashi says laasois shmoine beklaf im klaf kotenhu. Let us say he has a sheet of parchment that is not long enough to contain the standard eight columns, but he decides to write eight columns on it anyway. Well, how will he accomplish that? He'll accomplish that by having short columns, or let's say the individual lines will be short. So one is told here not to do that. They should dap in ktsar, because thin columns or narrow columns are venirin ki'igrois. They look like igeris. And igeris is an expression, if you give a literal translation using modern Hebrew, it comes out to a letter. It could be that the word igeris is a proclamation, a decree, but it's an expression that's used in contrast to another word that you find in the Gemara, the word sefer. So we don't want to have narrow columns, because narrow columns don't look like a sefer, they look like an igeris. Furthermore, velo yemait bedapim, Rashi here explains, velo yemait bedapim, lasois Gimel dapim gedolois urechavois im yeria gedolahi. Let us say he has a long sheet of parchment. The long sheet of parchment would be sufficient to contain more than three columns. And he decides, no, he wants to write three columns. What will the result be? There'll be actually three long columns. Each line will be very lengthy, thereby filling this long sheet of parchment with a mere three columns. So the Brisa is telling us, lo yemayit bedapim, don't reduce the number of columns that you could write on this long piece of parchment, because if you do that, each column will have very long lines. When you get to the end of one line, and you're reading the Sefer Torah, especially in view of the fact you're reading it in public, what happens? You have to then pick up with the next line. Your eye has to then scan back to the beginning of the next line. But since they're very long lines, the person's ability to pick up the beginning of the next line will be impaired. So, and that's what the Brisa says. They she'enov mishoitetos. Literally, his eyes wander. They wander. They're unable to pick up the very next line. So, what's the acceptable length? What's the proper length of a column? Of a line in a column, Ela Kegoin. This word Lemishbechot Seichem is a. There are 10 letters. It represents a word. The truth is that this word Lemishbechot Seichem, as a 10-letter word, to the best of my knowledge, does not appear in the Torah itself. The longest word in the Torah is in Parshas Va'era, concerning the Makas Tzvardim, the plague of frogs, that we read, and we also commemorate that on Pesach, on the Seder night, during the Eser Makas, the 10 plagues. There is a word that says Uvemisha Roisom. Uvemisha Roisom happens to be a 10-letter word. The one can ask, and it's worthy of investigation in and of itself, why is that word, which actually appears in the Torah, not written as the example here in the Gemara? I heard a pshat once that this is a, each letter also has a particular length to it. So what the Gemara is trying to communicate is that a 10-letter word, let's just read the next phrase also, this word, lemishpachosechem, gimel pomim, the Brisa says. This is a 10-letter word, three times. So in effect, it will be 30 letters with this specific length to it. Namely, the width of each letter is also a consideration when dealing with the length of a line, and that would answer why this word is chosen as opposed to what the word that actually appears in the Torah, which is uvimisharoisam, which would have a different length to it, even though it also has 10 letters. So, just to review the last point, the width of a given column shall be essentially the length of a line that would contain this word, L'mishpacha Sechem, three times. In effect, three words, 10 letters each, would be the, as we say, the length of a line. Nizdamna lo yuriyo bas teisha dapim. Let us say a person has a sheet of parchment that could hold nine columns. And we said nine columns is not to be written on a sheet of parchment. So he's going to have to take this piece of parchment and cut it. And the Brisa says, lo yachlok sholosh lekan v'sheish lekan, don't divide it three and six, elo arba lekan v'chomesh lekan. Rather divide it four and five, so as to ensure that there isn't a great discrepancy between the two pieces. Bamed v'mamurim, the teachings that we've had till now, namely not to have long, not to have two wide columns, not to have two narrow columns, that's betchilas ha-sefer. The Rashi comments here, b'med v'rumim d'lo yema'ev v'lo yarbe v'dapim, that you should have, we'll say, a standard or an appropriate number of columns per parchment according to its size. That is true with regard to to most of the Sefer Torah, from the beginning till almost the end. Avol, besof ha-sefer, when you get to the end of a Sefer Torah, there is a bracketed two lines over here that we will skip momentarily, because the Gemara itself deals with the language that it requires some refinement. So the refined language appears right after the brackets. Reading this again, Afal Basof HaSefer, with a skip, Posuk Echod Bedaf Echod. We're going to go over this again, but before offering any explanation, let's now go into the bracketed section. Avol Besof HaSefer, the bracket says Afilu Posuk Echod, ve'afilu daf echod. Even one pasuk, even one column of an entire sheet of parchment. So this teaching seems to say two separate halachas, even one pasuk and even one column on the entire final piece of parchment. So the Gemara asks, pasuk echod salka daitach? If you read this literally, you're saying that you can write one pasuk on the final piece of parchment. Now, if you do that, you're not going to be reaching the bottom of the column. And that's what arouses the wonderment of the Gemara. And let's read that again. Pasuk echod salka daitach? Could it be that on the final piece of parchment you will be allowed to write one pasuk? What about the need for the column to reach the bottom of the daf? This explanation you'll find in the Shita Mikubetzes Ois Yud Ches. So the Gemara continues, Elo Emo, rather say as follows, Posuk Echod Bedaf Echod. Not like the expression that appeared at the beginning within the bracketed section where we read afilu pasuk echad v'afilu daf echad, as if there were two separate halachas, but rather it's one point, pasuk echad bidaf echad, which means that the last pasuk that you write, if it comes out that you have one pasuk left and you have a long a sheet of parchment, you are able to write a singular pasuk, provided it takes up the entire column. You'll ask, well, how is that to be accomplished? If we look in the Rashi, you'll notice there's a star to help you find which Rashi we want to learn. Elo'emo posuk echod bidaf echod. Imroitze yase daf kotzor. Daf, don't forget, means a column. If he likes, if you want, and as this is the situation that you're in, you can have a very, very, very narrow column. Mitevo achas b'shito achas. Each line will in effect have one word in it. Kedei shigmor b'sof hadaf. In order to fulfill that overriding concern that you reach the bottom of the column. So the chiddush here is that even though up till now we had dimensions of writing with regard to sheets of parchment, when you get to the final sheet of parchment, then the only concern that we have is that the final column starts from the top and reaches the bottom line of a standard length column. We are not concerned with lengths of lines anymore. Remember, we have the 30 letter length long lines. We're not concerned with numbers of column per sheet of parchment. We said before that a standard sheet of parchment should have no less than three columns. In the case of this last sheet, we're not concerned with that either. The only thing we're concerned with is that the last sheet of parchment, even if it contains only one pasuk, that pasuk should be written in such a way that it reaches the bottom of the column. The Braisa continues with a new aspect of dimensions. Shi'ur Gilyon. We're talking, Gilyon is a reference to the white, which we can call margins. We have an upper margin, the top margin that runs along the length of the top of a Sefer Torah, and the bottom margin, the margin that's underneath every column. So, Shi'ur Gilyon. First, we have a Roman numeral number 1, because here we're going to talk about a Sefer Torah. 2 lines later, you see a Roman numeral number 2. There, we address the issue of Chumashim. Chumashim is we mentioned before, they are individual scrolls, each scroll containing one of the 5 Chumashim, one of the 5 books. So the first, number 1, deals with a Sefer Torah. So the space, the margin, milamato, tefach, should be a handbreadth. Milamalo gimel etzbos would have a width of 3 fingers. Ubein daf ledaf, the space between each column. Kemoloi revach shtei etzbos, 2 finger widths. Uvechumashim, when dealing with individual books that are not sewn together as part of a Sefer Torah, you're writing individual Torah chumash scrolls. Milamato shalosh etzbos. Here the margin at the bottom will be not a tefach like by the Sefer Torah, but rather 3 fingers width. Milamalo shtei etzbos. At the top, 2 finger widths. Ubein daf ledaf, the space between each column in the chumash. Kemelo revach gudal, the width of a thumb. Now, the Braisa goes on with spaces, and here there doesn't seem to be a distinction made between a Sefer Torah and Chumashim. It says, Ubein Shita L'Shita, the space between lines of writing, Kemelo Shita, there should be a blank, a line of blank between each line of writing, and width of that of those lines are the width of the blank space is the same as the width of the writing itself. Uvein teva l'teva, the space between words, kimlo ois ktana, the size of a small letter, probably the amount of space that a letter yud would take up. That is the amount of space that one should leave between words. Uvein ois l'ois, space between individual letters, kimlo chut hasayro, a hair's breadth. Al yamait odom es haksav. There's an opening comment here to this next section that one should not write small letters. In other words, if he has a standard writing size, he should be careful not to memayit iksav lo mipnei revach shel mato velo mipnei revach shel malo velo mipnei revach shebein shita l'shita. Velo mipnei revach shebein parsha leparsha. Let's go over this point. This idea of one should not have a squished or a reduced writing. The first point was velo mipnei revach shel mato. Let's see the Rashi. Lo yemayet lasois oisios kitanois b'shita el yoino. Let us say that a person is concerned with the amount of he. Let's say he makes an estimate that the width of this particular sheet of parchment is such that he will have to, in order to ensure that there's a sufficient margin at the top, his top line and bottom line, he'll have to write with small letters. So one should not do that. One should not have reduced writings because of concern, margin concerns. That covers the case of Revach Shel Mato and Revach Shel Malo. Mato is the margin at the bottom and Revach Shel Malo is the margin at the top. The next point that was made was Revach Shebein Shita L'Shita. We look at Rashi, Mipnei Revach Shebein Shita L'Shita Kegoin Im Sirteit Be'emtza Hadaf Shnei Shitin. Sirteit has to do with a line that's etched into the parchment. Those lines that are etched into the parchment constitute the upper part of each letter. In other words, it's instead of using the term, we'll say underlining something, this is overlining. So it represents an etched line into the parchment. The tops of each letter will touch that lining. That's the sirtut. So the Rashi explains, let us say he made he etched in two lines, and there won't be she'ein revach kedei shi'ur b'neihem. The expected space to be left between two lines of writing, namely the blank space between each line, let us say in this case the two etched lines are such that you won't have sufficient white space between each line. Even if that be the case, one is instructed not to reduce the size of the letters that he's writing on those two lines so as to ensure a sufficient white space between them. There seems to be an overriding concern that letters should not be of a reduced nature. Continuing in the back in the Gemara, the second line from the bottom, Nizdam Loi Tevo Bas Chomesh Oisiois. A person has a need to write a five-letter word, and he's approaching the end of the line. Lo Yichtoiv Shtayim B'Soy Chadaf V'Sholof Chutz Ladaf. He should, if he has a situation that he'll have to, that the word, the five letters, will cause him to overshoot the edge or the boundary of the column. So we're told here, you're not allowed to write two letters within the column and have three jutting out. Elo, sholosh v'soy chadaf. You are allowed to have three in the column. Ushtayim chutz ladaf. Two letters are allowed to jut out. Nizdam noloi tevo bas shtei oisiois. If a person has a two-letter word, like the word heim or the word bom. He has a two-letter word. This is not related to the halacha of a word being divided, but rather he has a two-letter word. This, there are possibly other pshatim to what we just said, but for the time being, we'll take it at face value. If he has a word that's two letters, lo yizrekena lebein hadapim. There's another pshat that I have seen with regard to this, and that's a case of, let us say, we just got finished saying you are allowed to have two letters jutting into the column. That's provided that the two letters are themselves don't constitute a separate word. But if those two letters do constitute a separate word, take for example the name Avraham. Avraham is a five-letter word. The last two letters are hey and mem. Hey and mem constitute a word in and of itself. So the instructions here are that even though one is allowed to write a two letters jutting out beyond the boundary of the column, that is not so if those two letters would constitute a separate word. So the Brisa goes on to say, Ela choyzer v'koyse b'tchila sashita. So rather, he is to continue his writing on the next line. In other words, don't write Avraham just three letters and have two the hey and mem jutting out, but write Avraham on the next line. A new issue concerning mistakes, hatoya b'shem. That it means he has a need to write the Shem Hashem, but he didn't, and instead wrote something else. What does one do now? This is a topic concerning which we will see five opinions in this source. So the first opinion is, Gorer esma shekosav. Gorer is to scratch off after ink dries. The method of erasing it is through scratching off the dried ink. Gorer es ma shekosav, he should scratch off that which he erroneously wrote. The toila es ma shegorar, the kosev es hashem al mokom hagrar, divrei Rebbe Yehuda. He scratches off the word that he wrote prematurely, let us say. He was supposed to write the Shem Hashem, but instead he wrote the next word. So he scratches off that prematurely written word, writes on the line, namely on the spot that was scratched off, he writes the Shem Hashem, the name of the Almighty. And the next word that he should write, Toila, means he writes that in between the lines. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Shem Hashem will be written on the scratched out section so as to ensure that the Shem Hashem is not written between the lines, but is on the same level as the rest of that line. Rabbi Yossi Oimer Af Toilin Es Hashem. Rabbi Yossi does give the option of having the name of Hashem suspended, written in between the lines. Reb Yitzchok Omer, Af Mochek V'Kosev. Mochek is a situation of erasing the ink while it's still wet, before it dried. Rashi points out that is a less desirable situation. It's the writing or the result is not as nice as a situation where you allow the ink first to dry and then scratch it off. Rashi, you could see four lines from the top where we've dashed underlined. He says, "Afal pi she'enu hodur kol kach kegorer." It's not as nice looking, as pleasant in appearance as the case of Gorer. Rav Yitzchok is lenient, and he says you can even mochek the prematurely written word, and then write the Shem of Hashem on the mechak, on that erased part. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, "Kol Hashem." When looking at the Shem Hashem, kuloi toilin, if you're going to write the entire Shem Hashem in between the lines, that's okay. However, miktsasai ein toilin, to write just a part of the Shem Hashem in a position between the lines, that would not be allowed. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir Ein Kosvin Es Hashem Loi Amokum Hagrar Velo Amokum Hamachak The Ein Tolan Oso. So far he is rejecting all of the suggestions we saw before. The Shem Hashem is not to be written on the scratched off section, not to be written on a wiped off section, not to be suspended between lines. Ketzad Oise, well, what is one to do in a situation where he should have written the Shem Hashem, wrote another word prematurely? We know what to do. Mesalek es hayaria kula vagonza. You take that entire sheet of parchment, no matter how much you've already written, and you put it out of commission. Gonza means you bury it. At this point, the Gemara gets involved with psak halacha, final rulings. After all, we've seen so many different Tanaic opinions. What do the Amoroyim rule regarding this topic? Itmar Rav Hananel Marav halacha toilin es Hashem. So Rav Hananel, in the name of Rav, says, like Rav Yossi's teaching. Rabo Barachana Amar Yitzchok Bar Shmuel halacha mochek v'koisev. Rabba teaches, like we saw in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, that mochek is a possibility. The Gemara asks, why do these two Amoroyim that we've noted as Aleph and Beis say over in words what the halacha is? V'lema mor halacha kemar, umor halacha kemar. Why doesn't each one say very simply? Take Rav Hananel Marav, for example. He should have just said halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Barchana should have said halacha k'Rabbi Yitzchak. Why do they spell out their rulings? Answer, mishum da'afchi lehu, because there are those that switch around the names with the teaching. In other words, if Rav Hananel would have said the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, but some have ascribed to Rabbi Yossi's teaching the idea of mochek v'kosev, and Rav Hananel Marav does not want you to do mochek v'kosev, therefore he spells out toilin es Hashem. Omar Rovin Bar Chinino. Notice we have a firebox around the name Rovin Bar Chinino. In truth, we could have noted Ula's name as well as part of this firebox, but for the sake of conciseness, we find it sufficient to note just Rovin Bar Chinino's name. Before we go further, let's take advantage of the Nosei Mivneh heading that accompanies this sugya. We note Ad Reish Lamed Aleph Omid Beis until the top line of Daf Lamed Aleph Omid Beis, which is quite a ways off from over here. HaGomorah Todun B'dvarav Shel Rovin Bar Chinino. The Gemara will make references to Rovin Bar Chinino's comment, the posak he ruled halacha k'Rav Shimon Shizuri, v'lo od elo kol mokom shishana Rav Shimon Shizuri halacha k'moisai. That's what Rovin Bar Chinina reports in this Gemara. We will see numerous triangles on this column of Gemara. The triangles will appear in two directions, point up and point down. As a result of that, we refer to this as a ma'akav, an attempt to keep track. The point up represents nisyonos, attempts loseis tshuva l'sheila, to provide an answer to the question, ahei posak Rovin Bar Chinino, what was Rovin Bar Chinino referring to kishomar halocha k'Rabbi Shimon Shizuri? We see in our Gemara, Rovin Bar Chinino saying, the halacha follows Rav Shimon Shizuri. The question is, what is he referring to? What topic is he referring to when he paskins like that? The Gemara will have numerous suggestions. Each suggestion, until we get till the bottom line, will encounter a rejection. And that we will see when the triangle inverts, you'll see it's referred to here as dechios. The dechios meaning a rejection of whatever was suggested up till that point. So we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rovin Bar Chinino, Omar Ula, Omar Rav Chanina, Halocha K'Rabbi Shimon Shizuri. The halacha follows Reb Shimon Shizuri, v'lo oid elo kol mokom shishon Reb Shimon Shizuri, wherever Reb Shimon Shizuri appears in the sources, halacha kamoiso. The halacha shall follow his opinion. The Gemara asks, ahei, on what? Meaning, on what did Ravin Bar Chinana, what did he have in mind when he ruled the halacha is like Reb Shimon Shizuri? In other words, what topic was under discussion that Ravin says the halacha shall follow Reb Shimon Shizuri? So, ilemo aho, if you say it's going on the following, now the following happens to be the reference above, the source above. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara showing you where this quote is coming from. So, if you say it's coming from the following, Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, kol Hashem kulo toilin, miktsaso ein toilin. Reb Shimon Shizuri spoke about writing the name Hashem between the lines. So he said, a complete Shem Hashem, one is allowed to write between the lines. Is it so that Ravin Bar Chinana was paskening like Reb Shimon Shizuri in the above source? The Gemara says, not so. V'ha itmar alo, regarding that source above, the long source that we had above, we saw Amoroyim offering their piske halacha. We saw them paskening. And on that source we saw Omarav Chanan and Omarav halacha toilin is a shame. By the way, we have a little arrow to the right-hand side of the Gemara text to show you where this quote is coming from. So we saw above, Rav Chanan in the name of Rav said, halacha is toilin is a shame. Rabo Bar Chanan Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel halacha moichik v'koisev. So we saw Amoroyim offering their rulings on that source. The Im Esau, if it were so that Ravin Bar Chinana was paskening like Rabbi Shimon Shizuri in that source, Hu Nami Lema, then he too should have spoken up. He should have joined the list of Amoroyim in paskening like their respective tanoim in that particular source. And yet Ravin Bar Chinana appears, at least in our Gemara, as an isolated comment. He doesn't follow the list of starting with Rav Hananiel and then Rabba Bar Chanan, and as such, it seems that Ravin Bar Chinana was not referring to Rav Shimon Shizuri in the above source. Otherwise, he would have joined the list of Amoroyim that were offering their psak on that source. Hello? Uh-huh. So, a suggestion number two. There's a source that talks about something known as a ben pakua. So, very briefly, an animal that's slaughtered. An animal receives a kosher slaughtering, and it happened to be a female animal pregnant with an embryo. After the mother is slaughtered, we're talking about an embryo that was almost was full-term pregnancy, and upon the slaughtering of the mother, the embryo was taken out alive. It's taken out alive from a slaughtered animal. That's called a ben pakua. It's a reference. It's not a name of a person. It's the reference to that situation of an embryo extracted from a kosher slaughtered animal, an animal that received a kosher slaughtering. So the source says as follows, what may appear to be a surprising halacha. Rabbi Shimon Shizuri Omer, afilu ben chomei shonim v'choresh basodeh. This ben pakua, even if it's now a five-year-old creature, in other words, its mother was slaughtered properly 5 years before, this animal is out there in the fields, plowing the fields. Shchitas imo mitaharoso. The slaughtering that was done to its mother is considered a slaughtering for this animal as well. So as surprising as it may sound, this animal does not need to be slaughtered following all of the halachas and the details of kosher slaughtering. It already has been slaughtered, so to speak. Just like that mother, the mother animal's slaughtering enabled you to eat any of its limbs, that slaughtering also enables you to eat this ben pakua. Exactly what do you do with the ben pakua? That's not part of our discussion. We are simply saying that in the event that this ben pakua, let us say, you happen to kill it in some other fashion, you can eat it, even though it doesn't receive a kosher slaughtering. And the reason for that is, once again, because the slaughtering done to its mother covers this ben pakua as well. So maybe Ravin bar Chinina, when he said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Mishazuri, was referring to this case. The Gemara rejects that. Ha itmar Allah, Omar Ziri, Omar Rabbi Chanino, halacha Rabbi Shimon Mishazuri. There was someone who paskined, in fact, like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri in the case of the Ben Pakua. Ve'im Esau, if Ravin bar Chinina was paskining like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri by Ben Pakua, Ihu Ve'im Esau hu nami lema, then he too, Ravin, should have also joined Ze'iri that in paskening like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. But we see on record only Ze'iri paskening like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri, and we don't see any reference to Ravin bar Chinina paskening along with him like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. So apparently he was not going, that namely Ravin was not referring to Rabbi Shimon Shazuri in that in the case of the Ben Pakua. Another marking that we should have pointed out earlier, you see the double underlining. In each one of these sources, we've double underlined Rav Shimon Shazuri, being that he is really the focus of our, he's part of the focus of our discussion. Continuing, we're at number 3, Elo Aho. Maybe Ravin bar Chinina's ruling of Halacha Rav Shimon Shazuri was a reference to the following source. The following source deals with the writing of a get, a divorce document. The source begins, Borishona Hoyu Omrim. Originally it was taught, Hayotze Bekoilar, someone who is being taken out for capital punishment, the Omar, and he says as follows, he instructs, Kisfu get the Ishti, that's what the condemned man says, write a get to, for my wife. And even though he doesn't say, write it and give it to her, nevertheless, it's understood, based on the circumstances, that he can't think so clearly, he's about to be executed. If he says simply kisvu get ishti hare elu yichtavu v'yitnu, the listeners have the right to see to it that the get is written and also given to the woman, and of course given to her before he is actually executed. That will accomplish the following: that the woman will be considered a divorcee, and as a result of that, she won't be subject to yibum, which is the process of a surviving brother marrying the widow of a man who died, in the case that the man who died left no children. There are circumstances in life where one does not want to subject his spouse, his wife, to yibum, so as to release her, so to speak, or prevent her from becoming a yavama. He divorces her. A divorced woman obviously does not have anything to do with yibum. She's cast out of the relationship before she ever before she becomes a widow. So this man who is on his way to execution, if he says the, we'll call the shortened instruction, namely he says, kisvu get ishti, he doesn't articulate and give it to her. Nevertheless, we take the liberties of not only writing it, but giving it to her as well. And as we explained, we said that the man about to be executed really is interested in his wife becoming a divorcee and not a widow. And simply because he was perturbed and disturbed by the impending execution, he didn't articulate his full intention. Chazru Lomar. Later on, it was said, Af Hameforesh v'hayyotze b'shayora. Someone who is about to take a sea journey or embark on a caravan trek through the desert. People like that also are preoccupied, and if for whatever reason they instruct for a get to be written, their intention is understood to be not only write, but give it to her also. And we are to give it to her, even though he didn't articulate himself. Once again, because in these cases as well, a person about to embark on a seafaring journey or a desert trek, a caravan trip, they are preoccupied with the impending circumstances. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer. Notice, of course, we've double underlined his name. This is what draws our attention. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, Af Ham Misukan. Someone who is deathly ill. Someone like that, also, if he says, Kisvu Get Ishti, we not only write it, but give it to her as well. That's the case of Misukan. So it may be Ravin Bar Chinuna, when he ruled the halach is like Rav Shimon Shazuri, he was referring to Rav Shimon Shazuri over here of the writing of a get. Inami aha, maybe he was, Ravin Bar Chinuna was referring to the following case. Trumas Meiser Shel Demai, Shechazra Limakoima. Rashi offers an elaborate explanation to this particular section. For our purposes, though, we don't want to get too bogged down with topics that are dealt with at length elsewhere, but suffice it to say that this deals with with produce purchased from people who are not totally reliable with regard to tithing. And that's called demai. Demai is produce purchased from Amoratzim. In the event that one does purchase produce from an Amoratz, from an ignoramus, he is expected, the purchaser himself is expected to do the tithing. We'll say a tithing done for, to be 100% sure. So one had done the tithing, and he then, part of the tithing is the removal of the miser. After removing miser, which is a tenth that's given to the Levi, 10% of the miser is separated and given to the kohen. In this case, we have and that's called trumas miser. In this case that's referred to in the source, we have trumas miser that was separated from demai produce. Demai produce meaning the produce purchased from someone who is not 100% reliable for tithing. And the trumas miser that had been tithed fell back into the rest of his produce. That's shechazra limakoma, fell back into the already tithed produce. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, af b'chol shoyalo v'uchloi al piv. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri goes beyond the Tanakama. There was another opinion that preceded him, and Rashi gives all of the background. There was a Tanakama that said that in the event of a confusion that arises concerning demai, if it's Shabbos, since you have nothing else to eat, we allow you to consult with the Amoretz and ask him if he did the tithing and rely on what he says. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says not only if it's Shabbos, but also if it's on a weekday, if this situation arose, the Trumas Meiser got mixed in with Maichulin, you have a right to ask the Amoretz, the vendor who sold it to you, and if he says, yes, I took care of the tithing, therefore my security tithing, namely the subsequent tithing that I did as a purchaser, was really unnecessary, and therefore that which fell in does not ruin the rest of the produce. So Rav Shimon Shazuri says, you can ask him even during the weekday, the Oichloi Alpiv, and eat the produce based on what he tells you. So maybe Ravin Bar Chinuna ruled like this Reb Shimon Shazuri. So up till this point we have suggestions 3 and 4, the case of the Misukan by Get, or the case of the Trumas Meiser Shel Demai, where Reb Shimon Shazuri rules what he rules, and regarding those cases, it could maybe, regarding one of them, Ravin Bar Chinuna ruled like that Reb Shimon Shazuri. So the Gemara rejects this as well. concerning the above-mentioned cases, Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, Alokha Shimon Shazuri, B'Mesukan. We see Rabbi Yochanan passing Rabbi Shimon Shazuri in the case of the Mesukan, the get was the case of the get. We had dashed, underlined the word Mesukan above, so as to make it easier for you to find where what this is a reference to. Uve Trumas Meiser Sheltamai. Let's read that line again. Vo'itmar lo Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Halokha, Kribi Shimon Shazuri, B'Mesukan, and the case Ubetrumas Meiser Sheltamai. So we see an Amora ruling like that, Reb Shimon Shazuri. So Reb Yochanan paskining like that. The Im Esau, if it were so that Rovin Bar Chinina, when he said halacha like Reb Shimon Shazuri was referring to these cases, who nami lema, then he too should have joined in the paskining, the legal ruling. And yet we don't find Ravin joining Rabbi Yochanan in paskening like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri in those cases. Elo aha. Maybe Ravin was paskening like Rabbi Shimon Shazuri regarding the following. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur Omer Mimshum Rabbi Shimon Shazuri. This source will also deal with issues concerning tithing. Pul HaMitzri. It's a type of legume, shizoroi lezera. It was planted for its seed purpose, as opposed to for its vegetation purpose. You planted it for developing seeds. Miktsaso hishrish lifnei Rosh Hashanah, u'miktsaso acha Rosh Hashanah. Part of his field of pul hamitzri developed or took root before Rosh Hashanah, and part of it took root after Rosh Hashanah. The times and the point at which something becomes chayav in tithing depends on what purpose you have in the planting of that particular item. And there are many more details associated with delineating times and requirements that generate the need for tithing. In the case of a legume that was planted for its seed purpose, the determining factor of what tithe is necessary, the determining factor is the taking of root. When it comes to tithing, there's a 7-year cycle during the first, second, fourth, and fifth years. In addition to Meiser Truma and Meiser Rishon, there is something called Meiser Sheni that is tithed. The third and sixth years of that cycle, instead of Meiser Sheni being tithed, there's something called Meiser Oni, which is tithed. Let us say you have produce, part of which took root before Rosh Hashanah, and part of which took root after Rosh Hashanah. So in this field, you have a different kind of tithe that would appear if you are on, let's say, the borderline between a Meiser Sheni year and a Meiser Oni year, year 2 and 3, or year 5 and 6. What does one do? So it says, Ein Tormin Mizeh Alzeh. One is not allowed to tithe from one on the other. We might go further in our explanation in anticipation of what will be taught here, is that even with regard to 1 year and the 1 year and the next year, one is called Yoshan, the previous year is called Yoshan, and the next year is called Chodesh. So you will have a problem here of 2 years that almost converge. So it says, Ein Tormin Mizeh Alzeh. You can't tithe from the produce that took root before Rosh Hashanah to exempt produce that took place after, that rooted after Rosh Hashanah. The fish ain't tormin umaisrin lo min ha-chodesh al yoshan v'lo min ha-yoshan al ha-chodesh. You can't tithe from the previous year on the new year. So the explanation we gave before concerning the Meiser Sheni and the Meiser Oni might in fact be superfluous, because we have a more basic concern of previous year on new year. So what should one do? Tsover Gorono Lesocho. He harvests all of the Pul HaMitzri, mixes it up very thoroughly, creating what we'll call a uniform mixture. V'nimtza Torem umasir min achodesh shebo al achodesh sheboi val hayoshan sheboi al hayoshan sheboi. We will assume that when he takes the tithe from that well mixed, uniformly mixed harvest, within that harvest you'll have, let us just say for argument's sake, 60% of the harvest was from stuff that rooted on year one, and 40% was from stuff that rooted on year two. So in the tithe that I took, 60% of the tithed material will be coming from year one, and 40% of the material that I took in my tithing came from material of year two. So that is Reb Shimon Shizuri's suggestion for a case of Pul HaMitzri that rooted, that whose field rooted on the border between year one and year two. So maybe Ravin Bar Chinana in paskening like Reb Shimon Shizuri was referring to this suggestion. The Gemara rejects this. Hoit Mar Alo, Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Halocha Ki Reb Shimon Shizuri. We find Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni ruling like Reb Shimon Shizuri over there. The Imi saw, if it were so that Ravin had this case in mind, the Pul HaMitzri case, Hu Nami Lema, then he should have spoken up as well, ruling like Reb Shimon Shizuri along with Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. And yet we don't see Ravin Bar Chinana in this context. Ela, we now approach number six. At this point in the Gemara, though, we will only present the topics by way of titles, because the explanation of that will be part of our next shiur. So, Elo Oma Rav Papa, Ashida. Rav Papa says that Ravin Bar Chinana's ruling, like Rav Shimon Shizuri, was based on Rav Shimon Shizuri's comment in the case of Shida. Shida being a chest of, or a bureau of drawers, a closet, which has to do with halachas of Tumas Kelim, which will be the subject of our next shir, Mirz Hashem. And Ravin, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Omar, A Yayin. Rav Nachman said that Shimon Shizur, that the halacha that Ravin was referring to when he paskid like Rav Shimon Shizuri was halacha concerning wine, which also is in the realm of Tumas Mashkin, which will be the subject of the next shiur. So in the meantime, though, we have an accepted suggestion. We have Rav Papa's suggestion and Rav Nachman's suggestion. What Ravin Bar Chinana had in mind, or which Rav Shimon Shizuri, which topic Rav Shimon Shizuri, which topic he spoke about, upon which Ravin is ruling like Rav Shimon Shizuri. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.